Shalom, brothers and sisters. The Lord bless you. It's Brother Gideon from the West here speaking to us today. And I hope that the Lord will use these words to encourage us in this week. Just a word of prayer, Lord. I ask that the words that will be spoken today will be for edification, to the benefit of the body of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. I just wanted to share thoughts around doubt and skepticism with us. Hopefully we can touch on a couple of aspects of doubt. And I'm hoping that we can get to look at some common characteristics of skeptics, and even compare that to people, to the faithfuls, the people who have been faithful. What can we learn from both sides? And also, how does doubt come? And why do humans, or why do we as people, or as believers, or as even human beings, why do we doubt? Why are we sometimes skeptical? And you know, why do believers sometimes even sit on the fence, not appearing to be completely believing, or you know, appearing to also be skeptic? Why do some confess faithfulness and yet you know, lack true conviction and become skeptics? You know, and what is rationalism? How does that compare to being a skeptic? And also, can a spirit-filled Christian exhibit skepticism? And finally, maybe how we can overcome skepticism? Hopefully, we'll be able to maybe answer some of these questions in within the week as we go on with the help of the Holy Spirit. So, if we just think about what doubt or skepticism really mean, you can think of it as a feeling of uncertainty about something, or a lack of true conviction about something. I think that's how the mainstream dictionary defines doubt and skepticism. So I'll also first like to establish the difference between skepticism and proving the certainty of something, because I think that is a gray area that sometimes Christians confuse. You know, if we are seeking to prove that something is true, does that mean that we are doubting? No. You know, proving things is absolutely biblical. And we are in fact instructed to prove all things and hold unto that which is good. And that we can find in 1 Thessalonians 5:21. You know, every true believer is expected to test every spirit and hold unto that which is good. And that's one thing that sincere sheep who wants to follow after only the voice of the shepherd, only what the instruction of the shepherd, they will like to test every voice to be sure that it is the voice of their shepherd before they follow. You know, because a stranger's voice, they will not follow. That's what the chief shepherd said. So, with that out of the way, We're instructed to prove everything. But skepticism, on the other hand, is a lack of conviction about something. So even when you've repeatedly looked into it, when you've repeatedly tried to establish it to be true, yet we exhibiting skepticism, And we see that habit or that character or that spirit displayed in the Pharisees. They many times over and over came to Christ inquiring, how long will you leave us in doubt? Or what sign do you give us? You know, they kept over and over coming despite seeing indisputable proof, many of such, that should, you know, have dissolved their doubt. But they remained a skeptic. Now, that leads me to the various categories of skepticism. That is one type of skeptic. You know, a constant state of skepticism or doubt to anything that is divine. This is a totally different case from proving things. And that is one category that I want us to look at today. It is a spirit of doubt that is capable of weakening the very hand of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, of the only potentate. I know some people might think, how is that? Like, we sometimes think demons are the ones who have the ability to weaken the hand of the Lord or the hand of the Holy Spirit. That's not true. The Bible describes those wrong spirits as beggarly elements. The biggest force, you know, against the free flow of God's Spirit is the doubt and the skepticism that originates from the mind of men. That is the biggest force against God, against the success of God's mission on earth, and against the move of the Spirit. And that's why we would see our Lord is known, you know, to ask skeptics to stay outside before he would make some prayers. You know, we saw that in the house of the leader of the synagogue, and Jesus went to pray for his daughter. He told the daughters, the skeptics, to stay out. We also saw that with Peter as well. You know, he asked the people who were skeptic to stay outside. I don't imagine that Christ asked the people whose faith were not sufficient to stay outside. Those are not the type of skeptics that I'm referring to here. I'm talking about people who are constantly opposing divine things. You know, those were the people, because it's the disciples at that time wherein they didn't have faith that was so built up. Those were not the people. We're talking about people who are constantly opposing divine things. And in this our generation, we know that the prophet William Branham, who is a man that represents the second revelation of Christ to mankind, was known to, you know, ask that the people who will sit behind him on the podium be carefully vetted, you know, by his campaign manager, because he has said that many times when he had skeptics sitting behind him on the podium, they would make operating the gift more difficult for him. So they would make it more difficult for him to operate the gift. So that says a lot. That just lets us see and understand the power of the mind of man, and the havoc that skeptics, constant skeptics, can wrought on divine things. You know, so to just back to my thoughts of you know, proving things. The common example that we usually have is the Bereans. We know the Christians, the Berean Christians that was talked about in Acts 17:11. They daily searched the scripture to see if the things or if the voice that they were hearing from Paul was those, I mean, or those, that the voice was that of their shepherd. That's all they were seeking to do. And the Bible described them as being noble, being more noble for that. Another thing that the Bible talked about them was that they searched with readiness of mind. And that was very commendable. They were described to be more noble than those of the Thessalonians. But skeptics, on the other hand, they actually also may search the scriptures. Searching the scriptures doesn't differentiate the skeptics from those who are trying to hold on to what is true. But the difference is usually in the mind. They search with a totally different mind or purpose, just like we see with the Pharisees. And another example that comes to mind with people who are constantly, it's skeptic or it's skepticism that's constantly opposing divine things, is the individual that Paul smote blind in Acts 13:11. This type of skeptic, they're not seeking to follow the voice of any shepherd. They are only seeking opportunities to justify their skepticism. I don't want to believe that we have so many of such, but we do have people who profess to be believers who may fall in this category. Unfortunately, this category is a huge red flag, but we still have records of people who exhibited this level of skepticism, that whose heart was later broken down. We know that Paul was mightily used by God after he constantly opposed the truth. But that's a different example. And we also know that the Pharisees, some of the Pharisees actually were known to be subject to the faith, as recorded in Acts, even though they were previously constant opposers of the truth. I just want to start with this category today. There are other two categories that I would want to look at in the course of the week, and also to answer some of the questions that I started out with in this area of skepticism. The other two categories that may be of interest are some that skepticism that happen as a result of a fainting heart who is not well established, you know, who is weak and is prone to constantly doubting. And the other category is one that every believer, a type of doubt or skepticism that every believer is likely to experience in their journey of faith. This is an opening to this thought. I pray that the Lord will help us as we go through the week. The prayer that I would want us to just have for today as we go on with our day is to ask the Lord to touch our heart. You know, say that, Lord, touch my heart and make every stony heart that I may have converted to flesh. Help me, Lord, to experience new heights of trust and faith in you. A new height of trust and faith that will carry me on in my journey of faith. I pray that the Lord will bless us, and I pray that we'll have a great week. Shalom.